Today, I'd like to briefly discuss this topic of being oneself because it came up in discussion a week ago, being oneself. So there are two aspects to this. One is when I accept myself totally, the way God has created me, including all my flaws, when I accept that the sum total of my life is my conditioning and nature, which has not been in my control, then I get comfortable in my own skin. So I'm no longer wishing to be what I am not. But herein lies a misconception, because being myself, I must ask the question, am I at peace being myself? Most likely the answer is no. So I was asked a week ago, so can you explain what, according to you, is being oneself? See, the words reveal it all. Being one self, not two. What does this mean? It's a very important point. Usually, consciousness, the individual consciousness, is split. If I was to record all my thoughts during the day, I would find that it is mostly about others and what they have done to me, whether family, whether friends, whether relatives, colleagues, whatever it is. It is a split consciousness. Then, what God has done to me, again a split consciousness. And all my life, what happens is I try and defend who I am, and in that defense, my peace goes, and I take away the other's peace. So a battle has been set up within my own consciousness. So what does being oneself mean? It means being that one self, that unified consciousness which is healed. So when I see the hand of God behind everyone in my life, and I no longer have split consciousness into individuals doing things to me, then I am being one self. Yes, I still have to operate as an individual. I still have to express my point of view. But now I am not battling for survival. I am not attached to my point of view, such that if the other person doesn't agree with me, I suffer. And then I try to convince the other person that my point of view is the right view. That is the suffering. So being oneself is the recognition of the one self, one consciousness, operating through all these instruments gathered here today. But each instrument has been conditioned a certain way. Some are conditioned to be aggressive, some are conditioned to be timid, some are somewhere in between, based on the life circumstances. But the uniting factor is that we are all here together because we are conscious. That current, which is functioning through all of us, is the same. Electricity is electricity. That current enables us to be, otherwise we would be dead bodies. So how long are we going to battle our way through life, taking offense at what people say and what they do to me? How long are we going to split our universe between those we like and those we don't? This does not mean going around and hugging everyone, especially those we don't like. But when we accept them for the way God created them, then as far as we are concerned, the matter is resolved. When we find that we are able to say a silent prayer for even those who have troubled us, then we know this recognition has happened. You see, because when one knows what it is to suffer, you wouldn't really wish that upon anyone else, no matter what. That is what the Buddha calls the arising of compassion. So it begets the question, what is the content of one's consciousness through the day? Are we aware of it? Or are we living a life of ignorance, day by day, day by day, day by day? So this journey of awareness, being aware of my thoughts, feelings, emotions, actions. This is the spiritual journey. It's a journey of awareness, because this awareness is not mine. The me is unaware. The me is operating on default patterns and conditioning, repeating the same script again and again and again and again. This light of awareness is objective. It is able to see things and people and events in my life for what they are and not what they should be or not what they should have been. If this person had acted this way in the past, I would have been okay. If this person will act this way in the future, I will be okay. Dependency, the one being oneself is independent. There is no other to depend on to perpetuate my story. You see, I need the other to perpetuate my story, and I get addicted to my story. If mine is a story of suffering, I get addicted to suffering because now I know who I am. I'm the victim. So this me-centric approach through life is what destroys my peace and my sleep at night. Those who can't sleep at night mostly because the mind is troubled. The mind is troubled means the me is troubled. And this is how we are asleep while we are awake. We are asleep while we are awake, most of us. Certain events we have to face in life, almost all of them, as Ramana Maharshi said, according to our prarabdh, which is basically a pre-recorded script. But rather than facing it in equanimity and calm, we get agitated. We get agitated and we agitate others around us because we feel we have been given a license to do so. So ours becomes a vibration of revolt and agitation. Stop talking to some people, and to compensate, I'm extra nice to those I like. The ego plays all these tricks. So we are living our lives in protest. See, I think it was Gundavlekar Maharaj who said that there was a conference of thieves, and in that conference, they were debating whether they should just do thievery and leave the victims alone, or should they give a thrashing to the victims. That was the discussion. But they all agreed in the unspoken word that it was all right to be thieves. That is fine. So we are like these thieves. We are asking ourselves, how much should I hurt the other? This much or that much? And the one, let's say my senior at work, I dare not hurt him. The one I can take for granted, I can hurt them a lot. So we are a brotherhood of thieves. So the spiritual aspirant is very mindful. What has he or she allowed to enter through the door of consciousness? It is like there's this door. When life presents a situation or a person, the aspirant is ever vigilant at that door. Am I falling into an old pattern? Am I fully present, watchful? What are the thoughts coming in? Are they thoughts based on doership? Are they thoughts based on separation? How did I react to this situation? That is what Krishnamurti called the flame of attention being lit. Because the ego has got tired of playing the game, it is now assessing, asking, wondering. Each situation is a lesson to be learned, not a challenge to be faced. It's not easy. The journey of awareness is not easy. But as the saying goes, all good things to those who wait. Our own life is the book to read. We go to classes, read scriptures, discuss them, and then we go back home to our usual antics. But one's daily living is the biggest scripture. Seeing through the eye of singularity, not the eyes of duality, is the biggest sadhana. We are in the festival of Ganesh Chaturthi. Ganpati is the absolute. The trunk of Ganpati is the third eye elongated, finding, going to the belly, which is the big Manipur chakra, aligning with it, the seat of relationships, emotions, big ears which don't hear but listen. We only hear, we don't listen. because we are very quick to reply to people. But if we listen, then it's a different dimension. Would anyone like to share something or ask something? Yes, Seema.
I would like to know, what is the difference between consciousness and subconscious? The difference.
Consciousness, the conscious mind is the gateway to the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind will do whatever the conscious mind will tell it to do. It will not judge. So that is why it is very important for the conscious mind to be careful of the data it is feeding into the subconscious mind.
That's again to be aware, isn't it?
Yes. For example, let's keep it very simple. You go to a shop, you see something you really like, but it's expensive. You're thinking hard about it, and then you let loose the words, I can't afford it. What will happen is, your subconscious mind will be the storehouse of I can't afford it. It does not judge. So the conscious mind has passed a directive which has gone into the subconscious. So if the words chosen were different, for example, I'll get it later, whatever it may be, then that goes into the subconscious. It's very important to be aware of the content of the conscious mind, which is what the spiritual teaching is about. If I say I hate so and so, that becomes the content of the subconscious. And then the subconscious will certainly help you to fulfill the hate, you see, because it does not judge. So this journey of awareness is a deep cleansing of the subconscious mind. All the garbage which we dumped into it now has a chance to be cleared up. So conscious and subconscious. That is what the wisdom teachings are about, to change the direction and content of the conscious mind, which so far has been thinking it knows best. All its life, it thinks it's in control, it knows best, it needs no assistance, forgetting that as a child you didn't wipe your own bum, your parents wiped it. Forgetting that the parents were the first teachers, then were the school teachers, then were the college teachers, but suddenly this ego thought, now let me run my life the way I think best. And so it gets mired into the polarities of life. Kabhi khushi, kabhi gham. And lives its life unconsciously. You know, an enlightened being is in such a state that they wish no harm upon anyone, but God forbid something happens and someone does something, they have to be so vigilant also while being in that state that no negativity arises inside them, because that can manifest and harm the other. I have sat with yogis who have told me about this, because it is a ripe subconscious. Anything can happen. So can you imagine the rubbish we have been feeding our subconscious? So this is like an undoing. This new conditioning is an undoing of all that kachra. It is like the common example given that you go to a bar and you go to a satsang. Your content of your consciousness will depend where you are. So simple. What is closest to you is your thoughts about people, not the people themselves. The person you don't like may be living in another part of Mumbai, but the minute you think of them, they are closest to you because they are inside your own consciousness. So those thoughts about them is the garbage which one is trying one's best to cleanse. Because imagine all one's life one collects all this garbage, and then at the end you are just a heap of garbage. But that being oneself, when I start walking that way, then I'm garbage free. My load is lighter.
So being is just to be?
Yes, so simple. It really is that one can burst out laughing. It's true. Like if someone offends you, and you should say, maybe the thought comes up, is it so? Then you know you're just being. You're not this force of reaction getting back at the other.
And the same situation to be would be what? Not
being myself means I may or may not react based on my nature. But if I react, I am not targeting an individual. It's a thin line. Because when it is deep within my heart, nobody does anything, then I am not targeting an individual who has done something to me. So therefore, I find, by and large, that my knee-jerk reaction is more and more becoming a response. I'm responding more to people and situations. That is being. I remember, I mentioned this in the early satsangs, once I was in a taxi near Gateway of India. And the taxi I was in and the taxi they next to it almost hit each other at a very slow speed because the signal was there. So I guess both were not conscious enough, you could say. So that other taxi driver told my taxi driver in a very sweet way, "Kya bhai saab, aap kabutar dekh rahe the?" So he replied, he said, "Main to kabutar dekh raha tha, lekin aap kya kar rahe the?" So what could have been road rage and explosive situation was not. In this case, it was very beautiful to see. And there were kabutars because, you know, in those areas, there are a lot of pigeons.
I also had a very funny incident many years ago, must be 25 years ago. Driving down Marine Drive, there was a guy who suddenly took a U-turn. So, and he was trying to muscle in. But somehow I had the advantage. So I just stopped in front of him and I looked out and I said, "Nice try."
He didn't say anything.
He was startled, I mean dazzled, you know, and we burst out laughing.
If we can really just be, by and by as our life's journey unfolds and face life in that way, it's very beautiful. And we'll know for ourselves when our feathers are not ruffled like they used to be, that we are more and more comfortable with being. It's one's life which is the main measure. When your feathers are not ruffled like they used to be, that is the greatest measure. And when you're not ruffling others' feathers. I am at peace, but I'm going to destroy everyone else's peace. It doesn't work that way. As within, so without. That is the universal law. Then I'm just fooling myself.
My other question was, when we say I exist, is it the consciousness plus ego? What does it exactly mean?
Yes, you could say that. But in the spiritual sense, in order to say I exist, something has to be there first. That pure being does not say I exist. The pure being is just being. But because that being is identified with this body-mind, because that is the functioning of life, it has to identify with a form and express itself, it says, "I exist." But the knowing I exist is just pure being. I exist as so-and-so is the me, the individual. And actually, everyone is pure being. When you can see through people's personalities, through their nature, what you are seeing is their being. So, on this journey of enlightened living, one is no longer obsessed with people. One is relating with being. It's as if you start, and I'm not saying this in a figurative sense. It is you start seeing people behind their eyes. You start interacting with their being. It's very subtle. Because the obsession with an individual is so strong that I'm just doing it at this level, right? What I see. But when I am comfortable with being, I'm tapping into the other person's being.
Admission is different.
Yeah, it starts shifting. And what happens is because I'm no longer concerned with judging the other like I used to, the other will feel it.
Yes, earlier one would go in Nama Rupa.
Yes.
Right? And there we start.
Yeah. So now that Nama Rupa becomes irrelevant.
You go beyond.
Yeah, you go behind the being. You're tapping into the being. That is the one self. That is a recognition that while it appears I'm dealing with individuals in my life who are playing various roles, it is the one being playing the different roles. The one being is playing the mother, father, husband, wife, sibling, friend, and so on and so forth. So I'm no longer obsessing with the roles of people in my life. That obsession starts dropping away. So I will find that unlike my social conditioning, I may become very friendly with someone I meet on the street from a completely different background, because there's no judgment, you see. There's a felt being. And that is very beautiful when that starts happening, because now I'm opening myself up. Earlier, life had already compartmentalized and segmented people. Imagine if you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, that much has happened of the split. It is like we've created these compartments and placed people in our lives in these compartments. Now, these walls come crashing down. Scary for some people, but this is the spiritual journey. It is not easy, but the walls must come down. That is why they say, be careful of those who appreciate you and be thankful of those who criticize you. The ones who criticize you are doing you a very big favor. You don't need flatterers in life to massage your ego.
So I would like to share something which happened on a similar ground, what you're talking about today. Last week, I lost my peace on something, which I think is like when you say that there are people who pushes your button and then you become disturbed and you lose your peace. So that exactly what happened to me last week. And I realized that the people are changing, but the problem is same. So every time there were different people and the problem is same. And the outcome of that problem is that I feel very anxious. I feel anxiety. I can physically locate that anxiety in my body. It happens over here. I can feel that pain. It gets very heavy. I can't sleep in the night. I question. I want to force an outcome. Ke aisa nahi isko, aisa hona chahiye tha. So this now, because I feel earlier the outcome of these kind of things were that I used to blame the other person. That I used to say that this is because of that person. This is the person did this to me. But now, because we are into the teaching, we keep reading. And last whole week after the retreat, I had bought the book Living with Faith and Patience. So I was reading that book. And every chapter was like a revelation. So beautiful. So I was being able to connect with that. And while this thing happened, again on the same day, I got very disturbed. I couldn't sleep. I had argument and same thing. I thought that the same thing is repeating again and again. Why? And then I said at that time I was reading Sai Baba's book. So I said, okay, I'll talk to him. So I said that I don't like this emotion. I don't like to be in this place, this pain within me. I feel I'm a peaceful person. Why this is coming again and again? So I'm surrendering this pain to you. You give me an answer. And then the next morning when I woke up, I thought that, you know, this other person is having these problems. So I'll note down. And when I will meet the person, I'll tell the person that these are your problems and you need to correct this. And then I don't know what happened while I was in the washroom. I was overthinking happens. I got this thought that, you know, when so I listen to Kabir a lot. I sing his songs. तो मेरे मन में वो बात आई कि कबीर ऑलवेज सेज दैट बुरा जो देखन मैं चला मुझसे बुरा ना कोई. सो सडनली इट हिट मी दैट दीज फोर पॉइंट्स और फाइव पॉइंट्स दैट आई हैव रिटन अबाउट द अदर पर्सन आर सो मच सिमिलर टू माई ओन पर्सनैलिटी. एंड इट वॉज लाइक आई जस्ट फेल्ट दैट आई समवेयर आई एम क्लोज टू द आंसर दैट दीज आर थिंग्स विच इन विद इन मी फर्स्ट. Forget the other person. I'm doing the same thing. And then I felt like very nice. And I'm continuously reading that book, Faith and Patience. And I learned the lesson of surrender, which I didn't know before. And I think, of course, we read. But we don't realize or accept it. It is just there in our knowledge part. So with this last week's incident, this time I approached the entire situation in a different way. I did not associate my problem. And what you said about Manipur Chakra, I realize that there's a problem with that, the seat of relationships, the seat of emotions. I did, of course, we do Google and we read about it. Kya, what is Manipur Chakra? I would like to share that it is mentioned there that people who suffer from this issue, they are also having digestion problems. And I have been suffering from acid reflux since past 2 years and very bad. Like, I've been to gastroenterologist. I'm trying to treat it with a lot of, not medicine. I believe in natural therapy and diet and all. I'm trying to treat it, but mujhe realize, wow, I connected. These things are so connected to each other. And I don't know, I mean, today we are talking about that only, that conscious, subconscious mind, our own conditioning. And that learning, I mean, through these teachings, it has come to me. And I was grateful. I won't say that I am wise enough to handle everything. No, my reactions will come. They came, as you always say. They came, I reacted, I argued. But when I sat and I thought that I have to surrender to find an answer, I was able to see that that the criticism that I am giving to somebody, first I need to work on myself and stare inside.
And one has to be also gentle on oneself. When these situations arise, we are carrying decades of conditioning behind us. So it's all right to be reactive. It's okay. The suffering is the involvement. Why did I react? I should not have reacted. That means I'm a failure on the spiritual path. See, all that becomes an additional burden. Because the me is again back on the stage. I was in control. How did I lose control? You were never in control. Nor were the others. That is the beauty of the journey. It's not going to be overnight a cakewalk. It happens. And sometimes, mind you, the other person is meant to receive your reaction based on their destiny. Who knows? See, there were sages, including Sai Baba, who didn't use nice words. But we don't know what was meant for the other. We are judging as individuals. He was not very polite. When he gave it to someone, he gave it to someone. Yes, what we see on TV series and all brushed up and, you know, all that. But that was not the reality. So the idea is that in this exploration, we are gentle on ourselves when we feel we have failed. And we are gentle on others. That whole Gita is, the whole foundation is that one dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. Where when he puts his bow and arrow down and Krishna tells him that, what are you doing? This is doership, inverse doership, and you're giving me lessons on morality. So the whole Gita is in this only. The ego deluded thinks I am the doer, and so are others. Yeah, sure.
You just mentioned to the lady, you were that being, we have to connect with the being, and Naam Rupa is to be ignored.
Sorry?
We have to connect to the being, and Naam Rupa is to be ignored.
When I'm not saying it is to be ignored. Her question was to clarify what being means. You can't ignore Naam Rupa because that is the functioning element in daily life. But what happens is we are stuck only at the Naam Rupa. That is what happens. That is the Maya. The Maya is that when we go to a movie, we get lost in the story without realizing without the screen, the movie would not be witnessed. That screen is the screen of consciousness. You could say the being on which life is being played. So I have heroes in my life. I have villains in my life. They are all playing their roles. But it is being played on the screen of consciousness, which I lose sight of because I'm engrossed in the movie. It's absurd, you know. How can I lose sight of this big screen, which is so obvious, on which the movie is being played? Is it fair to that screen? So that is what happens. The average person is lost in the drama of life and living and is unconsciously going on and on and on and on. That is what is happening. And the spiritual dimension, when it opens up, one is witnessing the play of life on the screen of consciousness. That is what is happening. I still have to go through it. I still have to go through the movie of life based on my Rinanubandhan, on my Prarabdh. I will face characters. I will face events. The script is there. But my attitude to life is what transforms. That is all. And yet that is everything. That is the difference.
So the prarabdha is to be constantly aware about my attitude and see to it that it is not getting involved, at the same time getting to do what is to be done as a swadharma.
The prarabdha has to be faced. How I face it, yes, it is like Dayanand Saraswati when he was asked, is there such a thing as free will? He said, look, you take a goat, tie it to a particular length of rope and tie that to a peg in the ground. Now that goat can only graze to the extent of the rope, the maximum stretch of the rope is its grazing ground. But within that, it can do what it wants. So he says the human being is restricted by these limitations. But within that, when the quest, how do I find my peace, takes place, in that same limitation, limited by my prarabdha, I'm able to find my peace, which is what the Buddha said. Samsara is dukkha, nirvana is shanti, and they are not two, which means my peace is to be found through life. And his middle path, to me, is so beautiful because basically it means not being polarized. When we are polarized, we lose our peace. The pendulum swings from love to hate, up to down. Our life is going by like this. But by and by, when the pendulum is in the center, in equilibrium, peace, harmony and calm, then one knows one is on the middle path. Not extreme likes, not extreme dislikes. Nothing in the extreme.
But it's actually a constant sangharsha, because surrendering at the same time, surrendering to the higher authority, at the same time doing your own, what is supposed to be in the goat example, the thoughts according to the situations, we are not supposed to be inactive or idle. At the same time, do the expected duties in the station in life. At the same time, surrender, Ishwar Arpan Buddhi is required, and the what is to be received is sort of a Prasad Buddhi. So that way, it becomes very difficult at times to come to terms with it, because the expectations of some conditioning are already there in the psyche.
But this is the rewriting of the script, you could say. In fact, it becomes easier for an enlightened being to perform karma yoga. They will be with it 100%. The rest of us are 50%, 60%, because we are lost in the past data. The enlightened being will operate in the moment, in the here and now, and perform the task at hand, knowing results have never been in my control. All I can do is do my best. So the enlightened being is at a very big advantage. That overthinking, which makes our performance diminish, does not happen for the enlightened being. So the sangharsh is there because that's part of the journey, but it doesn't mean it'll always be there. By and by, through grace, surrender, experience, that is my quality of life. I see in incremental steps, gradually, how when I am more and more at peace, I am more and more able to deliver from that ground of peace whatever has to be delivered. So, sangharsha is not a permanent state. In fact, if you ask me, sangharsha is for the unaware being. Life is always a battle. For the one who is aware, it starts happening. Less and less conflict. Until the individual rhythm is in tune with the rhythm of the universal forces, then life can become a delight. Yes, I still have to face my prarabdha. And if that prarabdha means pain, pain has to be faced. But now, I face that pain without adding to the baggage and making life hell for myself and others while I'm facing the pain. Most of us have been given more pain than pleasure in life. Each one has a different pain, but the prarabdha has placed the pain, but the attitude to the pain, which is based on grace, because it is grace which has chosen some people to initiate a spiritual inquiry, that attitude can be transformed. See, there is nobody left to be in conflict with or to fight with. Neither the other, nor God, nor myself. Then where is the conflict? Till it is needed, it is needed. Then the ego realizes that life is not really a battle to survive. How can it be? In deep sleep, I am most at peace when there is no me. So my own absence proves that I am not needed for being peaceful. So it is the me in the waking state which is the problem. And whatever takes away its peace. That is why Ramana Maharshi said deep sleep is your natural state where the me is not on this conflict, quest to prove itself, prove its survival, force its way through people and situations. One's natural state is abiding in being. Then there's no battle to be fought.
Fact of getting, I mean, surrendering itself is a sort of a technique probably. The way in which we need to develop mentally to surrender to the higher being and not expect things to go over. And when things don't go our way, obviously. And that, if you can just highlight on how to...
You see, I firmly believe that it is everyone's experience that nothing has been in their control. Now, for example, when I lost my father when I was 14 years old, it was a life experience. Then when I was 29 and I met a spiritual guide who said, take the biggest events in your life first, see whether they were in your control. And my first answer was certainly not. I had no control over my father's passing. That memory came up. So life had already surrendered me to what happens in life because I realized that I absolutely can't do anything. So where's the question of me trying to surrender when life has already surrendered me? This is for everyone. If we are honest with ourselves, you know, whatever setback we have faced, we had no choice. Loss of money, loss of a relationship, a partner passing away or divorce or anything, any kind of loss. Loss of health, what control did you have on that? So life is constantly teaching us surrender and the ego is constantly battling the surrender. But wouldn't you say that when you were a child, you were already surrendered to your parents because you could not control how they brought you up? Your consciousness was too nascent. When you went to school and you learned geography and history, you were surrendered to the geography teacher because you didn't know geography. Now, in life, to surrender means the same thing. That there is a higher power already in charge, whereas I've been thinking I must control my life. So this realization is the surrender. It doesn't really need the me to surrender. When this realization happens that all I can do is try my best, but the events have never been in my control, the results have never been in my control, they never will be, then I am living the surrendered life, surrendering to the wisdom of a higher power, which is clearly running the show because I am not. So how long am I going to fool myself that I am running the show of my life? Yes. Earlier it was events are happening to me. Now events are happening full stop. It becomes a way of living. If you think life is a battle to be fought with people, then life will present enough people for you to battle with. So simple. Because in your subconscious, life is a battle. Subconscious will create the battlefield for you. See, it is like the realized being enters a hall of mirrors and all he sees is himself. But the individual enters the hall of mirrors and sees different people. Hall of mirrors is just an analogy for this manifest world, which is a reflection of the source. So if I see separation, that's what I get. But if I see myself, my one self, that's what I get. The barking dog will go into the hall of mirrors, will see other barking dogs and continue barking. What you see is what you get. So surrender is really not that big a mountain to climb. I feel that we are all already surrendered because we all know our breath is not in our control. The blood coursing through our veins is not in our control. The earth spinning on its axis is not in our control. So much is not in our control. But this little bit which we feel we have control on is what is troubling us. So when that little bit is also surrendered, that, hey Prabhu, you have created me the way I am, and so I'm surrendering this creation back to you. You know best, that is surrender. The fight is what really troubles people. It's really amazing because I know surrender is difficult, but it's really the simplest thing. You see, surrender in the Egyptian kingdom, ancient civilization, the oldest perhaps civilization, you know, where in today the police will pull out a gun and say, hands up, and you have to do like this. The Egyptian hieroglyphs are like this. And what did it mean? Above the mind. Surrender means above the mind. Means you're no longer using your mind because your mind is so limited. So the mind cannot say, I surrender.
So accepting any situation is a surrender.
Yes, exactly. And then doing what I think and feel I should do. It doesn't mean becoming a doormat or a zombie. But accepting that a situation has happened because it was meant to. So I'm not battling the situation anymore. Normally, I'm battling a situation. Situation has already presented itself. It's too late. It's already happened. So surrender is always happening, but it is this ego which thinks that it even can control surrender, which is the problem. To constantly surrender to life is what is already happening. Yes.
So, like one of the conflicts that I face is about spiritual practice. Typically, it is said that practicing it at a particular time every day, but again, it doesn't seem natural. And so then there is a conflict. So is, you know, probably related to what we are discussing, but is that discipline an egoic thing, or should I surrender and continue to, if it's not happening?
See, it depends. It is not natural to you. It may be natural to someone else. Now, why certain practices call for discipline? There are reasons for it. For example, you're doing a kriya or something, and they say do it at the same time and same place. Why do they say that? Because the body has a clock, a biorhythm. So when you do something at the same time every day, the body automatically goes into that zone at that time. So it is supporting itself. Same time, same place, because the place is a vibration. When you do your sadhana in one place, that vibration is built up. So for you, it may be a battle discipline because that's your nature. For someone else, it may come easy. So depending on the path they are following and what their nature is, what they resonate with, that is their destiny. Now, if I am disciplined to the detriment of myself, like I'm hating the practice, yet I am disciplined. That is suffering. But if I am enjoying the practice, where's the harm in the discipline?
Yeah, it's the 5 minutes that takes to sit on the mat is the conflict.
But that is for you. Yeah. Someone else may look forward to it and say, this is the best part of my day that I'm going to go and sit on the mat.
But if I like completely accept my reluctance to go there, will I choose not to sit on the mat?
That is your destiny. You have to do that which you think and feel you should do. This teaching is not going to tell you sit on the mat or don't sit on the mat. That you go and ask wherever you're doing the kriya. It is saying do precisely that which you think and feel you should do. But know one thing, that is your destiny and your nature. So you're speaking for yourself. Now you have to decide that although it is not my nature to sit on the mat at a certain time, should I try it or should I forget it? Up to you.
But not create pain for myself by, like even if I'm trying and failing, not create more burden for myself. That's the way.
See, it is not about this. You will do precisely that which you are meant to. The point is, are you conscious of it? So, for example, you could even try getting on that mat for 6 months and it's a struggle for you, if that's your destiny. But you have to understand that even if you continue doing it, even that was part of your destiny. Yes. So that is not being judged. That is not being judged that, you know, I've struggled trying to do my kriya, sit on the mat for 6 months. The judger is not there anymore. Yes, to recalibrate, should I continue doing what I'm doing if I'm not enjoying it? That is where your buddhi comes in. That is for you to answer.
That 5 minute also becomes the doorway, sort of.
Yes, yes.
Just on the same topic of control and surrender, is it fair to say that this process or the apparent process of self-realization or awakening is just spontaneously arising or unfolding on its own without a doer or a separate self. And just like all the other events in life, like there's absolutely no free will in how it unfolds, and just how I have no control over my thoughts or these appearances or even the words that are coming out of my mouth right now. It's the same for the entire process. So either meditation happens or it doesn't, either self-inquiry happens or it doesn't. And it's just that way. Yeah.
Totally. That is why Lord Krishna says, out of millions, only a few are drawn to the path, and out of those few, only one know me by name. So the sheer fact that a spiritual seeker is a spiritual seeker is because of their destiny. They had no choice over it. And it is setbacks which bring one on to this inquiry. What is life about? That is what Ramana Maharshi said. If not the first, then the second. If not the second, then the third. But you may have many setbacks in life and you're not on the spiritual path of inquiry. I know someone, a distant relative, who has faced challenge after challenge, physical, financial, relationship. Life is a battlefield of corpses as far as she is concerned, but completely shut to the spiritual dimension. You tell her about some teaching or master or bhakti yoga, kriya yoga, the doors are slammed shut as per the destiny.
Main bina kisi karan ke bahut khush hoon. There's no reason.
Fantastic.
It's true.
That's so wonderful.
Yes. मैं मेरे घर में गणपति हैं और आज फिफ्थ डे है, आज जाना है, और कुछ ऐसे रिलेटिव्स आ रहे हैं जिन्होंने फर्स्ट टाइम आना है मेरे घर में, मतलब मेरे मायके में से, जो कभी नहीं आए, आज आने वाले हैं, एंड उन्होंने मुझे टाइम नहीं बताया कब आना है. सो आई सेड कि सुबह से चालू था, मेरी महाभारत चालू थी, मैं जाऊँ गौतम का अटेंड करूँ या ना करूँ, अगर वो सुबह आ गए, इस टाइम आ गए, तो मैं मिस कर दूँगी उनको, एंड दे विल आल्सो फील कि भाई गणपति रखे हैं और ये तो निकल गई है. ऑफकोर्स मेरे बच्चे हैं घर में सब, बट देन बिल ने कहा कि नहीं छोड़ो, चलो गौतम के पास. सो आई केम हेयर. एंड अनदर थिंग कि जो मैंने मुझे मतलब मिला है यहाँ से, दिस वन पर्सन, उनसे बहुत इरीटेशन थी मुझे, काफ़ी इरीटेशन थी. मेरे साथ नहीं रहते थे, पर जब भी आना होता था उनका, तो पहले ही मेरी इरीटेशन स्टार्ट हो जाती थी. सो फिर काफ़ी कुछ गौतम से सीख रही हूँ, और उनको अपनी लाइफ में मैं प्रैक्टिकली कोशिश कर रही हूँ कि सिंपल सिंपल थिंग्स, मेरे से बहुत ज़्यादा डीप और ये सब नहीं होता, सिंपल थिंग्स आई एम ट्राइंग टू लाइफ में प्रैक्टिकली लाने की कोशिश कर रही हूँ. तो इन्होंने कहा था कि एक मेजरमेंट है, पीस होनी चाहिए. तो वो लेडी जब भी आने का होता तो मैं इरीटेट हो जाती थी, पहले इरीटेशन स्टार्ट होती थी. तो अब जब आई तो देन आई सेड विद माई सेल्फ, एंड मैंने सोचा कि क्यों इरिटेशन है मेरे अंदर, अब वो आ रही हैं तो इरिटेशन थी. देन गौतम कहते हैं हमेशा कि जो भी है, जो भी इंसान आपके सामने आ रहा है, देर इज़ सम रीज़न, कुछ ना कुछ हमें सिखा रहा है, हमें हमारे सामने जो भी आ रहा है और वो भेज रहा है ऊपर वाला. तो मैंने यही सोच के कि वो जो भी आ रहे हैं, मैं उनसे, मुझे कुछ सिखा रहे हैं, शायद मेरी शांति मुझे सिखा रहे हैं कि जस्ट बी पीस, जस्ट बी योरसेल्फ, और वो भी एनर्जी है, मैं भी हूँ, नाउ लेट मी फेस दिस, एंड शी इज़ देयर, यू वोंट बिलीव, अंदर कुछ नहीं चालू है, कम्प्लीटली इन पीस हूँ. सो दिस टू थिंग्स रियली हेल्पिंग मी. और रिट्रीट के बाद तो मतलब एवरीबडी इज सीइंग मी कि क्या बात है,
They must have thought, what is in Goa? Yeah? Which rave party did you attend or something?
Everybody. मैं एयरपोर्ट से बाहर आई, सबसे पहले मेरे बेटा मुझे लेने आया था, उन्होंने पूछा, wow, so much, myself, Anisha and her sister, we three of us, was so much charged. And he asked first question, wow, you three? So different, so happy. So it was very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.